Our worship leaders have brought us into the presence of God, and I'm going to ask us to stay right there, if we might, as we consider the scripture at this time. And the passage itself from Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 is going to be before you. It's the next slide, if you would, please, that gives us the entire passage. And throughout our message together, I'm going to ask you to read that aloud. And if you'll start now with me, let's read that aloud. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. These two verses, the book of Proverbs, are probably two of the best known in the entire book. In fact, they may be two of the best known passage in all of Scripture. These verses have been used as an encouragement when making life's decisions. Maybe you've been there. What school should I choose? Who should I marry? What career path should I follow? When should we have children? And how many? Should I pay down the mortgage? What must I do to prepare for retirement? Should it be surgery or treatment? Which is the better choice? In what way can I leave a lasting legacy? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 encourage us through life's decisions, and well should they. However, the meaning goes much, much deeper. And if you're already leaning on this verse for life's decisions, great. That's a great stepping off, starting place. But let's go a little deeper to see what this passage may teach us beyond that. Because it goes deeper than just feeling what's right, or seeking advice from friends, or choosing the road less traveled, or weighing the rewards versus the consequences. These verses from Proverbs 3 actually describe a wise person's life, his or her character, his or her morality, his or her ethics, his or her attitude toward God. These verses help to determine how we will lead, the nature of our marriage, how we run a business, whether we will act justly with all people or with just a select few, how we will love God, love people, and love more people. These are two very powerful verses here in Proverbs chapter 3. We hope to share with you from our study and from our life experiences how we have grown from their application in our lives. And our prayer is that you hear us pointing to God and not to ourselves.
Say that verse with me one more time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust. I had a good foundation of trust built by my parents. Dad and Mom were hardworking, God-serving, loving examples who created a home environment of trust. I learned to trust from my very first days on the planet. Not everyone has been so blessed, and I understand that. Trust does not come as easily for others. I, however, learned to trust, to rely on, to have confidence in, to feel secure in my family's reliability, and that has made trusting God easier for me. Or should I say, most of the time. Times that I failed to trust him occurred when I failed to remember who he was. Allow me to share a personal story which illustrates this. It was a time when I was completely overwhelmed with worry, to the point that I could not allow my mind to be still or to be quiet. I had to keep my mind occupied, because this worry was paralyzing me. I knew in my head that God was the same God that we just sang about, that God was bigger than this problem, but I couldn't see what he was up to, and I had run out of options or methods of me trying to fix it myself. During the day, I was successful in distracting myself through work and family responsibilities, but when I would lay my head down on my pillow at night, it would just overtake me. So I tried to distract myself, from this worry through music, listening to music, and was somewhat successful with this. Now, I don't know about other people's habits in this room, but my habit is when I get into the shower in the morning, I kind of go over everything that's going on, planning my grocery list, planning what my day is going to look like, what I'm going to do, what I need to do later in the week, getting all things. And that's when it would really overtake me. Worry would just paralyze me. And I struggled so much. So to combat this, I decided that I needed to memorize scripture. So when I challenged myself every morning as I was getting in the shower to memorize a new passage of scripture. One morning when I was doing this, I finally grabbed hold of the idea of trust as I was attempting to memorize a passage from Philippians 4, where it says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. You see, God is those things. If I truly believed that God was true, right, pure, noble, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, then what did I have to fear? So as I was holding my bottle of conditioner in one hand, which signified all my worries, and in the other hand, I held my bottle of shampoo, which signified the greatness of God, a war commenced in my spirit that day. I would hold up that bottle of conditioner, and I would cry out to God my worries, my fears. But then I would say, no, my God is greater. My God is right. My God is pure. Now, the battle continued for several seconds, which seemed like hours, and probably seemed like hours to Rich. He was on the outside and started knocking on the door. "Marilyn, are you okay in there?" And I'm going, "Yes, my God is greater." You know, trusting God is not blind trust.
No, it isn't.
It is because I know him, and I know his character, his nature, his love, that I can say when those worries try to overtake me, and they still do, no, my God is greater. And trust is grabbing hold of that thought and not letting go.
So then I step into the shower, grab the conditioner, grab the shampoo, and I hear a voice from the Lord saying, "Give it up, Rich, you don't have a chance." Say that verse with me again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. To trust in the Lord with all your heart implies placing your full weight upon God because you have found him to always be trustworthy. The image is like leaning your full weight against God and trusting him to support you and to hold you up. I can illustrate that by a time that I was in high school, was in the adventure club. One of our outings was to a rock quarry where we were going to be taught how to rock climb and rappel. Our instructor taught us about our gear, the essential rope knots that we would use, belay checks, climbing commands, and basic climbing skills. And we practiced on a 20-foot high part of that quarry wall before we had to climb the 200-foot wall. Now, 20 foot's about the height of this room, I would guess. So you can imagine practicing on that, climbing up with a rope about the size of your finger supporting you as you climb up that wall. About 20 of us in the group, about 8 of us dropped out after just climbing the 20-foot wall. Can you imagine climbing that and then scaling back down? Some of you would already be dropping out, wouldn't you? After that 20-foot wall, we went up the 200-foot cliff, those of us who were left. If you want to get a perspective, the Dime Bank over on Putnam Street is 8 stories high, tallest building in Marietta. 200-foot cliff is more than twice as high as the Dime Bank building. With toe holes, fingers gripping the edge of the rock, someone up above holding on to the rope, most of us reach the summit. After a short rest and time to replenish fluids, the real test of trust began. Our instructor commenced to teach us about rappelling. It begins with stepping to the edge of the cliff and looking straight down. Have I walked off camera? 200 feet straight down and looking below, having a rope down around my waist. The instructor said, now turn around. And from this position, now squat and on command, jump backwards. Whoa. Ka-dung, 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 ka-dung. But that's what it took. And he said, now when you keep your knees flexed so that when you jump out and you come flying back into that rock wall, you'll catch yourself and your knees will be like springs will allow you. Well, once I got on the face of the wall, that was easy. And then the descent was actually fun. You could run across the wall or run back, and you could drop down 10 feet or 4 feet or 20 feet, whatever you want, and knowing that the rope was holding you. But that initial jump backwards, throwing your full weight into that rope, divided the adventurers from the observers. And that taught me the word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Put your full weight into his faithful hands. Now, I'm still growing in this, but I'm learning to trust God with my whole being. I've tested God and found him to be faithful with relationships, finances, changes in the seasons of life, health, and so much more because of my experience. I found him to be faithful to keep all of his promises.
Amen. Let's say it again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Rich is quick to boast of his ability to know direction. And also quick to tell me that I don't know which way I'm going. He can tell where we are by the position of the sun and by the reading of the terrain. Most of the time, he is right. But on one occasion, we were lost. And that gives me a great opportunity to illustrate the next part of this verse. Do not lean on your own understanding. Rich does not care for the beach. Marilyn does. But Rich loves horses. So therefore, we have the perfect vacation spot for the McClures. Corolla Beach, which is on the Outer Banks, amongst the wild horses. This is an area that is situated between two bodies of water, the ocean on one side and the sound on the other. You time your driving in and out of this area based upon the tide. There are no streets. There's no pavement. There are no street signs. You drive over the dunes on paths and through the shrubby trees. One evening, right before dusk, we were out driving in hopes of getting the perfect picture of the wild horses because we love photography. As we were driving, we noticed the sky starting to get dark. And we looked, and a storm was quickly approaching. We started trying to maneuver to get back to where our vacation home was, and we realized we were lost. And because of the cloud cover and because of the storm moving in, there was no way we could look at the sun or look at the terrain and try to figure out which way was north, south, east, west. As usual, I started to panic, but Rich was confident. And he said we needed to go this way because the ocean is over there. To which I replied, no, it's not. That's the sound. We need to go that way. We wandered around, and as you can imagine, emotions intensified, as did conversation. And he finally sternly suggested, why don't you start praying instead of wailing hysterically? To which I said, what do you think I've been doing? I'm praying that God puts down a person right in our path that's going to lead us out of here. We continued to wander around. It's getting darker. I was convinced we were going to stay the night in the car. We passed boarded up home after boarded up home because it was early in the vacation season. When I saw a faint light, I said, stop the car. He stopped, didn't know what I was doing, and I jumped out of the car, went running up to this house, knocked on the door. All he could see was that a woman came out of the house and saw me giving her a hug. It was the woman who had led us into our vacation home just a couple days earlier. She said, and I explained what was going on, because I kind of surprised her with giving. I think I remembered her more than she remembered me giving her a hug. And so I explained what was going on. She said, you'll never find your way out of here. I'm going to go get in my car. You follow me out. I ran back to the car, got in the car with him, and said, follow that car. You know, this is a good illustration because this verse does not mean that we shouldn't use our minds and our instincts, but it means that we're not to lean wholly on them. The Bible values wisdom and discernment, but the Bible also offers warning that we should not make our limited perspective the foundation of our lives. We couldn't see what direction it was in at that point in time. We could not depend upon what we knew, our instincts. And our wisdom, our training, our experience is too easily affected by our emotions, usually me, and our desires. We are vulnerable to self-deception. Proverbs 14:12 reads, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death.
Yes. Read with me that passage again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. In all your ways acknowledge him. And here we are admonished to recognize God in every aspect of our lives. Not just in decision making, but in everything we do or say or think. As the moon has no light of its own, but reflects the light of the sun, so too we are to reflect the light of God's Son in our lives. There's something worth exploring in the word acknowledge also. There's a relationship element in the word acknowledge. And we find the same word in Genesis 4:1 where it says, Adam knew his wife.
Correct.
Acknowledge goes beyond just knowing about God. There's a relationship connection. By acknowledging him, we live in constant relationship with him. After 48 years of marriage, Marilyn and I can not only complete one another's sentences, we know what one another are thinking. We're an impossible team to beat in cards. It's not fair because I know what she's holding. She usually knows what I'm holding. But because we're able to know what each other are thinking, we also know how one another would respond, and when appropriate, we can answer for one another. Somebody asked Marilyn, do you think Rich would go along with, she knows the answer. She doesn't have to go find me and ask me. And that's the same way it is with God. By acknowledging God in all our ways, we have walked so long with God that we know what he would say. We know what he thinks. We know what gives him pleasure. So we try to live our lives accordingly. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. But we're growing. We can each say that we are doing better this year than we did last year, and hopefully next year we can look back and say we're doing better than we did this year.
Say it again with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. He will make straight your paths. The promise of this part of the verse is that God will make our path straight, smooth, level, Does that mean Christians will not suffer? Hardly. Even the original audience of this text would have known how Joseph, David, and the prophets all suffered. The idea, rather, is that God will guide us in the right direction and will remove the chaos and confusion that might have come through self-directed living. Self-directed living. Rich and I had been married for about 5 years. We had settled into our careers. He is an elementary school teacher, and me as a medical social worker. We had just had our first son, Brian, and we had bought some property near my family in West Virginia, upon which we were going to build our first home. We were coasting now. It was then that Rich received a phone call from a former pastor asking him to consider a newly created ministry position at a church in Reedland, Kentucky. After much discussion, prayer, formal interviews with their search committee, the church, and we were convinced this is where God was leading us. We resigned from our jobs, made final preparations for the move. But we were going to take 1 week in between to go visit his family in Oklahoma. While there visiting, we received a call that the Union Carbide, which was a major employer of the people in that town, had suddenly shut down. They were not going to be able to afford to bring us there. What? We've quit our jobs. We have an 8-month-old child we're responsible for. We trusted you, God. We thought this is the direction you were leading us in. What are you doing? Immediately, we went into self-directed living, fix-it mode. Well, maybe if we call right now, we can get our old jobs back. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we can do that. But we were torn because we had felt so certain that this was what God was calling us to. On our way home, on our drive home from Oklahoma, we stopped in Louisville where my sister and her husband were living, and they both were in full-time ministry. We stopped there just to kind of lick our wounds a little bit before we headed back home to figure out what we needed to do and to see if we could get our home back. We talked with them, and they encouraged Rich to consider the possibility that maybe God wasn't leading him to Reedland, Kentucky, but that maybe God was leading him into full-time ministry. And maybe he needed to look at the seminary that was right there in Louisville. Well, self-directed living kicked back in. That would work, wouldn't it? You know, and Rich said, I could substitute teach during the day and take classes at night. And then social work jobs aren't really easy to find. But he said, you know, you can get some kind of job, just supplement. And we could do this. So the next morning, he got up and went to the seminary to check it out and to see about enrolling. Times were different than they are now because he found out while he was there, they didn't have options. You either went full-time during the day or there was no night classes. There was no online classes at that point in time. So while he was there, I didn't know that was going on, but I was at my sister's house and I checked out the want ads just to see what might be available. And I saw a job advertised that was the very same type of job that I had just left in West Virginia. Okay, so I called them and found out they were interviewing that day. Okay, and they said I could come in. All right. So I went in for the interview. When I went to interview, the person I was interviewing with was married to my former boss of my very first job. She offered me the job on the spot, and I said, can I have a couple of days? Because I don't even know if we're moving here. And then I explained the situation. So she agreed. I go back to my sister's home. Rich comes back. He's excited about the prospect of enrolling in the classes, but he was disappointed. He says, it's not going to work. He said, I'm not going to be able to work during the day. And he said, you will have to find a social work job. And you know how hard those are to find? To which I replied, I have one. Trust God and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Say that with us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 offer a great promise of God's guidance in our lives, but the promise is conditional.
Trust God completely.
Refuse self-reliance.
Include God in every area of your life.
And God will direct your path.
Assimilating this verse into our lives changes all the questions. It's no longer what will make me successful. It's rather what brings me in alignment with God's purpose.
The question is not who makes me happy, rather who can help me to become all that God created me to be.
In retirement, the question is not how much can I get done with the money that I've saved and the time that I have. Rather, it's how does God want to use me in this season of my life?
Ultimately, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is more than a promise that God will provide an answer to every question or deliver us from every hardship. It's a call to reorder our life around God, the author and source of wisdom. Every fabric of my being from the time that I was born was ordered by my desire for independence. Maybe you have had a child like that or have one now. Whether it was learning to walk or riding a bike, I wanted to do it on my own. Don't show me how to do it. I will do it. My independence was even reinforced by my parents, who applauded my strong will and boasted of my growing confidence. I'll confess that which was my greatest strength turned out to be one of my greatest obstacles. Perhaps it was a little bit pride. Maybe there was a touch of independence. The larger portion of my personality type and my emotional makeup was mixed with training and experience, which informed me that I can handle all things all by myself. Now, I've never been opposed to trusting God in all things. I just naturally handled most things on my own, because I could. But I'm grateful that over the years, I surrendered more and more of who I am to more and more of who God is. That saved me from a lot of chaos and choosing wrong paths in life and put me on the path of reliance upon God and an assurance that he is the one behind the wheel. Amen. There is a place of rest in that kind of relationship.
I wish that I could say I have arrived and now embody this verse. However, I don't. After all, I've been walking with Jesus for over 60 years. But my natural tendency is to be a fixer and to lean on my own understanding. My parents instilled in me a hard work ethic and independence. As a working professional, I was a problem solver for others. I have the gift of seeing the big picture, assessing the situation, and quickly putting a plan into action. However, sometimes that's about trusting myself and not the one who created me. As I continue to get to know him, the one who loves me like no other, I find that I still struggle, but I do not struggle as often or as long in that tension between leaning on him versus my own understanding. I'm finding that acknowledging him in all my ways is like a sigh of relief. Amen. As I can rest in the fact that God's got this and I'm on his path.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is not merely a call to God to help you make decisions. It's a call to reorder your whole life around him. Is there something that you're wrestling with? Something that you worry over? Will you pray? Lord, I trust you in this area. I choose to follow your lead instead of trusting myself. Is your first instinct to analyze a situation and then to create a plan of action? Will you allow yourself a moment to ask God, how do you want me to handle this, Lord? Will you stop to take a little self-evaluation test and ask God to reveal some area of your life where you have excluded him? Perhaps it's in free time activity or time with your family. Maybe it's in your use of social media or finances. Finally, will you ask God to show you the next faithful step to take and then to step out in obedience?
These four challenges mirror the meaning of this passage. First, trust God's heart. Two, release your own wisdom. Three, recognize God's rule in every area of life. Four, respond with obedient action in whatever he reveals to you. Amen. Our prayer this morning is that each of us move from hearing this proverb to practicing it.
Will you pray with us?